Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I feel so good about being back in the Pacific Northwest in my wonderful trip to Alaska. It was just absolutely awesome, and I'm so glad that I was able to interact with the people that I did while I was up there. If you'll recall, I said last Friday that we're going to be talking about 101 ways to save money on health care today. This is absolutely necessary. Look at all of the stuff we're hearing on the news, and there's such agitation. Well, this will give you a heads up on more than one level of what you can do as the consumer for your health needs to make sure you're not spending any more money than necessary, actually saving dollars, putting those extra dollars in your pocket and or your wallet and or your bank account. I want to welcome to the show Dr. Cynthia Kelker, and she is the lady that decided that was going to put this information together. Dr. Kelker, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks for having me.
You don't mind if I call you Cynthia, do you?
No, that's fine. Some people call me Doc Cindy.
Doc Cindy. Oh, I like that better. That's really good. Okay, Doc Cindy, you have such a good sense of humor that when I was going through this book, I said, you are the type of person that should be a speaker because being in the medical field, everything is so somber and so dictated with paradigms that are terrifying for so many people. Yours was very refreshing. Now,
I want my audience
to know this, that you're a board-certified family physician. You've been a physician for over 20 years. You are a member of Mensa, which means you're pretty smart. And you hold degrees from MIT, CWRU School of Medicine, and the University of Akron. You have served in the National Health Service Corps, and that helped to finance your medical education. And we'll go into that later on because that was powerful. And as I said before we came on the show, just this morning, we were talking with someone who has a young woman in their family who wants to be a doctor, and she is just brilliant, and finances are tight, and ROTC, we were mentioning to it this morning, saying this is an option that she would have that maybe she didn't even have a clue about. But let's talk about why you decided you needed to do this book. I mean, after all, you're a doctor, you're swamped. Why did you decide you wanted to take on this task of writing 101 ways to save money on healthcare?
Well, it was about a year ago when I was listening to TV like everybody else was, and the new administration had come in, and they were talking about health reform. And I had my doubts, but I wanted to give them a chance because, you know, new administration, maybe they would take their time. Maybe we learned something from the last round 20 years ago, and I thought they'd really study it. But then they said health reform in 6 months, and I thought, they can't do it in 6 months. That's impossible. And it really actually made me kind of angry, and I thought, well, why don't they ask the doctors things that we're already doing? These things in my book are things that I do and things that other doctors do, but I couldn't find anywhere that it was codified in a book. And so I thought, well, actually what I did was I took a pencil and a piece of paper, sat down at my table, and I wrote down a list of 100 ways, and then I thought, well, I could make a book out of that, and it could help a lot of people.
I agree, and I think it's a must-read for just about anyone. And I loved the very first chapter. It's the first way to save money at the doctor is don't go. And I thought, this is really so common sense as a statement. In other words, don't go to the doctor if you don't need to.
That's true, and it might be a bit of a dying art because it seems like younger people have, like, kind of less medical knowledge, but also fewer people to turn to. They don't necessarily have a mother who knows, you know, common sense approach to medicine, and they may not have a grandmother in the picture either. I do suggest turning to somebody who's perhaps older, perhaps wiser, perhaps more experienced, and ask, do I really need to go to the doctor for this? Because a lot of times the answer is, no, you don't need to go.
You know, one of the scariest things, and you bring it out in this very first chapter, is if you get a cold, for heaven's sake, stay home, have chicken soup, and get over it. It's going to take about a week to get rid of a regular head cold. This attitude that we're supposed to have antibiotics for everything, we are now getting research out, and it's been out for a while, but the layperson is becoming aware that too much in the way of antibiotics really compromises their immune system in a very big way. And chicken soup is terrific. It's been around for as long as I know, and it is really something that does help when you have something that simple as a head cold. It hydrates the body, gives you some nourishment, and stay in bed and rest, and lo and behold, the stuff disappears.
And one of the biggest discoveries of the last century has been that to prevent dehydration, you don't need just water. You need a little bit of salt and actually a little bit of sugar. And so chicken soup has absorbed better than water, and so with Gatorade.
That's right, and that's something I shared with someone who was finding themselves getting very dehydrated. I said, well, then they were sort of finicky. They were one of the, what I call someone that can be super extreme on everything they do. And I said, well, when you find yourself getting dehydrated, get a packet of sugar, get a little bit of salt. They said, you are crazy. I said, no, that's what an IV is, sugar, salt, and water, and that will hydrate you. And they go, you've got to be kidding. I said, try it, for heaven's sake. It's not going to hurt you, and it works.
And there's a recipe for that in the book, too. People can make their own IV fluid, not to put in your IV, but it's pretty much the same thing. You just have to drink it.
Yes, and it's amazing how far we have gotten from that common sense approach. And again, that's one of the reasons why that soups are so good when people are not feeling well. They get nourishment, a little bit of nourishment. It doesn't stress the body system. It's really good. And I really like your whole common sense positioning. Now, I have to tell you, I had a guest on last Friday who is a family physician. He had been one for over 30 years, just recently retired. And he's so upset that we're not having more family physicians. We have gone, it seems like, from the patterning of everybody knowing their doctor, the doctor knows the family, and you just have this wonderful camaraderie if they're really a good doctor, which most people, when they were family physicians, they were pretty caring, and they got to know their patients. You say in your book, see a family doctor, not a specialist. He said the same thing. But how do you find out about family physicians? Where do you go? I mean, it's really a tricky situation anymore. There aren't that many of you guys around.
Yes, sometimes I said in the book family physician, sometimes I said internist, because internist, family physicians nowadays do quite a bit the same, but you could start by looking in the phone book, because usually there's a section, family physicians. Another place would be to look online under the American Academy of Family Physicians to find a doctor. That would be AAFP.org to find a doctor in your area who is a member of the American Academy of Family Physicians.
Well, that's a great bit of information to have, because I think that is important. When you can have a rapport with someone and they have your records, then they're going to be able, if you need a specialist, to be able to confer and interact with that specialist much more effectively than they would otherwise.
And it would probably save you money, too, because generally family doctors charge less, and we also deal with a wide variety of problems. Like, I see patients who go see a dermatologist for what I would call a pretty mild case of acne. They didn't really need to do that. Somehow they thought they did, but they didn't.
And
or pap smears or some heart problems, not all heart problems, some lung problems. Skin problems, arthritis, you name it, we see a little bit of everything.
Well, that's the way the family doctor usually was, and that was part of their training, because they were generalists. This is something they had to know. I have a favorite story about a woman who went in, and this is one of my clients. She went in because she had been out gardening, and all of a sudden she found she was breaking out all over her hands and her then all on half of her face, and she goes into this clinic, and she has this young doctor. They put her on medication. She gets sicker. She doesn't know what's wrong. The breakouts on her hands and her face were really stronger. Well, she went back to the clinic a couple of times and kept getting medicine. She kept getting sicker. Finally, she really was feeling lousy. She goes back in for her third or fourth visit, and all of the doctors, it was a holiday or something, and they had all gone. And here's this mature physician that was there. And she goes in, he checks her out, and he hands her a bottle. He said, here, take this, put it on you so many times a day, and then you're going to be fine. You don't need to come back. And she looked at the bottle, and it said calamine lotion. She said, what are you giving me calamine lotion for? This was a woman in her 50s. He said, you have chicken pox. And she looked at him. She said, you are out of your mind. He said, I am not out of my mind. She said, on my hands and half my face, what about the rest of my body? He said, dear, you have chicken pox. Not one other physician here has seen chicken pox.
Yeah.
He said, I have. It was an epidemic when I was a young doctor. And he said, don't ask me why you got it. I can't tell you why you got it. You got it. Use the calamine lotion. Go home.
Yeah.
And that was how simple it was.
And that is a problem that the younger doctors, and I guess I can't think of myself as a younger doctor anymore, but I've seen chickenpox a lot, but I haven't seen measles. I had it when I was a kid, but I haven't seen it in this generation. And so those things could be, you know, not recognized. It does help to have an older doctor around, too. Helps to have younger doctors who know some of the newer things. But
fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. But I love that story. And she said, who in a million years? In my mind, she said, I thought I had some toxic allergy. I just didn't know what it was. It was strange.
Yeah.
But things like this happen. Now, you bring up something about all kind. You've got so many things in here. It's just amazing. It was almost hard for me to really figure out what I was going to ask you about. You say here in one of your chapters, know your formulary. Formularies. What are formularies? And what do we need? Why do we need to know about these?
Well, most people do have insurance. Probably about 70% of people have insurance. And if you have insurance, you have a formulary, whether you know it or not. And that would be a list of medicines that your insurance prefers that you use. And it will cost you less to use medicines on the formulary or on the lower tier of the formulary. Usually they have three tiers. I'll just call them the cheap drugs, the middle drugs, and the expensive drugs. And your doctor won't know what your formulary is, so if you don't bring it, it's kind of guesswork. You need to get it from your insurance. Sometimes you can print them off from online. Take it with you, show your doctor, then you can both see what your choices are. That doesn't always mean to use the cheapest medicine. But at least you know what you're working with.
And you are going to be made aware of the choices you have. Now, you have the $4 list, which I just had to chuckle. You said $4. It sounds like a pizza commercial. But talk to us about that, because there are many things that people aren't aware of.
Yes, it was about 5 years ago when Walmart started with that $4 prescription list. And since then, lots of other retailers have gone with them, pretty much anyone you would think of, the big ones, Kmart, Target, actually, the major pharmacies like CVS and Walgreens didn't exactly go with them because you have to have a membership to be in their programs. But you can get $4 prescriptions for almost any problem you would see the doctor for. Now, of course, not everybody can use those inexpensive medicines for everything. But there's medicines for blood pressure and diabetes and cholesterol and antibiotics. They're not all $4. Like, there's birth control pills, but they cost $9. But that's way cheaper than some of the prescription, I mean, the newer prescription birth control pills. I'm very aware of this list because I wrote this book and because I use it every single day. But not every doctor is going to be that aware of the list. So you can print off your own list and bring that with you, too. And even if you have insurance, it's going to be cheaper to use those medicines. And sometimes, if you pay cash, it's cheaper than going through your insurance.
Absolutely. You talk about medicines that can do a dual duty. You go into that a little bit. You also bring up some interesting information, and so many of my listeners are women. Mammograms. Now, there's a lot changing with mammogram technology. But you talk about free mammograms, and most women feel like maybe they wouldn't qualify for something like this. Tell us about those free mammograms that they can find out about.
Yes, there is a program in every state for free mammograms. It is income-based, but the income levels might be higher than you think that they are, because they can be up to 250% of the poverty level. So that's about $27,000 for an individual. And there's plenty of people who aren't making that much and don't have insurance, so you could get a free mammogram. I do have references in the book to get that. Hopefully you can go online and check it out, but if you can't, you can call your local health department. You can call your local hospital, and October is mammogram month. A lot of them have free programs then. So if you look, you can find one for either a discounted price or free, depending on your income.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about two different things that a lot of people get a lot of hype about through television commercials and various forms of media. Let's talk about colon cancer screening and prostate cancer screening, because there has been a real fear, in my observation, a real fear promotion attitude regarding this. Let's address those two areas, because I think that it's very good what you have in your book.
Colon cancer screening, most people are aware of that in the form of getting a colonoscopy from age 50 on, a colonoscopy every 10 years. But if you're paying for it, that's pretty expensive, like on the order of $1,500. And most people I know don't want to pay $1,500 for a scope when they feel just fine. But if you go by the science, which the United States Preventive Services Task Force, hard to remember that, U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, they have this all online too, but there are guidelines for alternative testing. For example, just to check your stool once a year for blood is equally acceptable and costs way less. And it'd be like $30 a year maybe. And you have to do it every year, but still, even after 10 years, that's only $300. And it is acceptable. But probably most of the doctors you know of are recommending the colonoscopies because doctors feel kind of pressured to do that. But that's not based on science so much. It's based on fear, like you said, fear that you might miss something. Well, doctors are going to miss something all the time. We're not perfect. You can't always say. But it's a statistical likelihood. Will you find it? Will you not find it? And it's reasonable to just do the cheaper test.
And not only that, but they are discovering some other new ways of doing a testing to avoid the danger of a puncture, because this is something that has to be performed by someone that really, really knows how to do it well. And that, you know, it's a chance whenever you do something like that. So the test you're suggesting is a very good one. Now, prostate cancer screening. It is really pretty important for guys to be aware that after a certain age they can have, you know, a vulnerability to this. And I've known people through the years that were in their 70s and 80s and they would have, you know, prostate cancer screening. But you say for men 75 years or older, it's not a good idea. Tell us the pros and cons with this.
Everybody has heard some story about someone who had their prostate cancer detected and supposedly it saved their life. Okay, those stories are hard to argue against. But if you look at the science and the statistics, if you're beyond a certain age, say about 75, the odds are the test will cause more problems than it's going to help. If you reach that age and you have prostate cancer, it's pretty likely, even if you have cancer, the cancer's not going to kill you. And if you have the test, they might find something, and then they go suggesting surgery or this or that, and you can have more trouble having the test done than not having the test done. Now, at a younger age, if you are not having symptoms, the test is really questionable too. It is a different situation if you are having trouble urinating or ever see any blood or get up at night to go. For those things, you should probably see your doctor. But if you feel fine, you could just leave it well enough alone and not get the test.
That's a whole different attitude than what most people have encountered. Again, it's almost to the positioning that we've become so paranoid about
yes.
so many things that... But like you said earlier, who do we have to talk to? You don't.
Right.
You don't.
And I know that doctors are afraid to not order the test. I have
mm-hmm.
patients who come in and they start talking about a PSA and then they start worrying about it. And if I can't reassure them, then we just get the test because it's hard for people to understand the statistical analysis behind who should get the test and who shouldn't. But if you go by the strict criteria that I didn't make up, these are United States studies that are done, if you feel fine, the test is not necessary.
There is something in here on asthma that you talked about. You said spend less and breathe easier. You say do not use, and you underline that here in your book, do not use the over-the-counter asthma inhalers unless your doctor specifically advises you to do so, which he won't. They can be dangerous. Talk about this for a minute, because a lot of people have asthma.
Yes, and I really like treating asthma because people can feel so much better. And I also like helping them save money because they don't really know. But there's lots of ways to save money on asthma. But as for the over-the-counter inhalers, I hate to even say the name, but I will say it in case somebody's using it, a Primatene Mist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can go buy that without a prescription, and it's not that expensive. And it does open up your airways. That is true. But it has some drawbacks. It raises your blood pressure, makes your heart race, and it doesn't last very long. And the other thing it can do is if you're treating yourself at home, you might just say, I don't need to see a doctor, when in fact you really do. The newer inhalers that are by prescription are actually safer than what's over the counter. If Primatene were applying for a status today to be over-the-counter, it wouldn't get it. It's just an older medicine, so it got grandfathered in. So you really don't want to do that. If you're in Antarctica and there's nothing else available, maybe use that. But since that is not the only choice, I would say don't use it. And you won't find a doctor who recommends that.
You have a section on diabetes. We read every day on one level or another how it is a serious epidemic and that this is something that has really come into a very strong positioning of reality within the American populace. You say save money on diabetes. You have information on how you can keep sugar under control. Talk to us about this a little bit because maybe some of my listeners have members of family. It seems like every family I know has someone that's dealing with this on one level or another. Let's talk about this for a minute.
Yeah, it's getting so much more common in America based on weight. We're like all gaining weight, and people at a younger age are gaining weight. And it's really not that hard to understand because you need so much insulin to metabolize your food. And if you eat more, you need more insulin, and in a sense, your pancreas kind of wears out. Now, that is not the whole story because your body gets resistant to insulin, too, that you have more insulin being put out. Your body kind of fights against it and doesn't work as well, and then you need more insulin, and it goes around and round and round. So the very first thing to do is to not gain weight and lose weight if you can. Stay at an ideal body weight. Of course, that is hard to do. So there are medications, a lot of medications that you can get for a very reasonable price, starting with metformin, which is the number one recommended drug currently. It used to be just a prescription, Glucophage, for about $100
mm-hmm.
a month. Now you can get it for $4 a month.
Wow.
And that's because it went generic. And one thing that was done in the past several years was that two medicines, Avandia and Actos, started to become like first-line medicines. Now, those are younger medicines, so they're not generic, and so they cost a lot. So if you're on one of those and you're paying $100 a month for it or more, you might want to ask your doctor about going on the others. It's really kind of complicated why a doctor would recommend one over the other. But if it's a question of, well, I can't even afford my medicine, so I'm not going to take it at all, then you should ask for one that you can afford.
Now, one of the areas of information that you have here is that I think is fascinating. Deals with blood work. I don't know of any of us that haven't gone into a doctor and they'll say, well, if you haven't been in for a while, you need to have some blood work done. Depending on your age, there'll be variables. You, in your book, list all of these different tests, and you say we need to do our homework when it comes to getting blood work reports and that we can shop around for this. How do we do that?
Yeah, people aren't too aware of that either. First of all, if your doctor says we need to get some routine blood work, you might just say, well, why? Why exactly? Do we mm-hmm. really need this? If you have no risk factors for, say, anemia or anything else that a blood count would show, do you really need a blood count? Maybe, maybe not, but you can ask your doctor specifically. And then different labs charge different prices. Around here in my area, one hospital lab just slashed their prices by about 70% because the other hospital lab had become a part of a private lab that charged a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think the public knew that, but the doctors were made aware of that. And the price at your doctor office might be different than the price at a hospital. It almost for sure is. And you can ask what the prices are. The
mm-hmm.
other thing is, if you qualify for a discount from the hospital, testing at the hospital might actually run you less, though it costs more, because you might qualify for one of the discount programs. So you need to ask about those things ahead of time. It's kind of overwhelming for people. They don't really know where to turn to, who to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to spell that out in a lot of detail.
Now, one of the things, and you've got so much good information in this book, 101 Ways to Save Money on Healthcare. You talk about health department services, taking advantage of health fair screening, saving money on hospital expenses, how to read itemized bills. You go into so much wonderful information, and I know we're not going to be able to cover all of it, but I wanted to touch on as many points as we could. But one of the most significant areas that I really wanted to touch on was how you were able to do what you wanted to do to become a doctor and were able to afford to do it. I just think that this is so significant. There are so many young people that they would like to be involved in the arena of medicine. They would like to become family physicians. Tell us how you were able to do it and how anyone out there who may have a member of their family, if they financially are going to be strapped, how they can do it too.
It would be the rare person who could pay for medical school nowadays. It's about, say, $40,000 a year, plus you have to live on top of that. So a lot of people come out or owing $200,000,
mm-hmm.
and that is really hard to pay off. Well, I didn't have that kind of money, so I applied to the National Health Service Corps, which places doctors in doctor shortage areas, and I had them help me out for 3 years with the agreement that I would go serve for them for 3 years, and I was assigned to Appalachian, Kentucky, which is not that far from Ohio, and I enjoyed my time down there. On those plans, you don't get paid as much initially, but neither do you owe $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the National Health Service Corps is still strong and going and needs people who want to go into family practice, also pediatrics and internal medicine. And it's not the only program. States have programs, and of course the military has programs. So if a person wants to become a doctor, finance is not a reason to not do it.
Well, this is just, it's fabulous. And you have all kind of appendices here in your book that gives information on internet resources, which my audience is very savvy about, pharmaceutical sites for OTC medications, pharmaceutical sites with prescription drug information. You have all of this itemized out here. Generics, you even have a page of information on that, the financing if someone wants to become a physician. I mean, this is absolutely marvelous. I just think your book, 101 Ways to Save Money on Healthcare, Dr. Kolker, or Kelker, is just absolutely marvelous. Now, you said that there's a website, 101waystosavemoney.com, that people can go to. And I strongly encourage you, those of you who are listening, if you have a loved one that's going through some health challenges, if you are really strapped for money, so many people today have lost their jobs, they're wondering, what options do I have? This gives you information as a consumer that empowers you. Why not take advantage of it? Again, her website is 101 Ways to Save Money. Dr. Kelker, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Donna.
It has been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. Check out our site again, 101 Ways to Save Money. Get the book. You need it in your library. This is Donna. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and if you would like to give me a buzz, that's all you have to do. And the telephone number to call me on is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. So all you need to do is call that toll-free worldwide number. Now, don't forget, if you have had a particular paranormal experience, I don't care if it's a dream, seeing a ghost, near-death experience, whatever it may have been, and it's changed your life, I'd love to hear your story. Won't you send it to me? I'm putting together stories in a book. I'm aiming for 100 stories of people's experiences, and if you would like to share yours, do send it to me. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. When you send it, be sure to put a story for Donna or Donna Sebo's book or something there where I can identify it. Or put BBS radio, something in there that will enable me to know that that's what this is in reference to. Being on the road, I end up having hundreds and hundreds of emails. So if you have that little bit of something in the subject line, it helps me to identify it more quickly. And then we will need your contact information as well, and that's going to be put in a file along with those people that have responded already, and we will then be contacting you once we're ready to put it into actual print. So don't forget, send me your story. I'd love to hear from you. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Who's coming on tomorrow? We are going to have Susan Marks. We're going to be talking water. Now, I know you heard me talking about facts of water last week. This is a subject matter that is really going to have a tremendous, it is having, not going to have, it is having a tremendous impact at this time. Susan has done a lot of research. Her book is called Aqua Shock, and we're going to be discussing that at length. And I'm really fascinated with what she has prepared because it's presenting viewpoints and perspectives that most people haven't a clue about. And we need to know this information not to be fearful, but to take an intelligent approach to how we use water, how we are able to conserve water, and what we can do to make sure that what we do with water is going to be best for our environment. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking with Eldon Taylor. Eldon is a repeat guest. He's written a number of books on mind programming, but this time around, he decided he was going to take a philosophical turn. His book is titled, What Does That Mean? So we're going to be talking a little bit about philosophy with this man who is a research scientist and finding out about what he thinks and why. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Irene Smalls about her book, Jonathan and His Mommy. But more than that, we're going to be talking about a project for education that she is very much involved with. So I hope you'll join us. And then Dr. Kirshner is going to be with us on Friday. All Medicines Are Poison. His book is absolutely amazing. And you may say, gee, Donna, you've been having a lot of doctors, a lot of professionals in the medical arena on the air. Why? Well, being a counselor and having so much interaction with the public, I find that we often are very ignorant, myself included, about the options we need to consider. And when you're pummeled with all kinds of advertising that is stating this is a fact or that is a fact, you have to say, is it really? Where are they getting their information from? Should I trust what's being said on the radio or on the television? The only way you can really come to a point of understanding is by questioning. Asking questions, very, very important. So that's one of the reasons I've had the good fortune of having wonderfully talented, dedicated medical professionals that are concerned about their own industry, big time, and feel like their patients, the general public, need to be educated. And let's face it, with all of this healthcare stuff that's in the news every day, we do need to be better informed so that we can be more proactive in our own wellness, in our own life. That's the reason why I have had the wonderful opportunity, and I'm taking advantage of it, of being able to have these people as a guest. Okay, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Do you find that during this time of the year, springtime, that all of a sudden you notice your windows really need to be cleaned and oh gee whiz, you just get energetic because the weather is warming up, the flowers are blooming. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we just have tulips coming up all over the place. The people have planted them. And this morning when we were out walking our two Scotties, Kenzie and Victor, it was a feast for the eyes. The rhododendrons are coming up, the hyacinths are up, the tulips are blooming. It's just absolutely a calliope of color that is wonderful. It's a feast for the eyes as far as I'm concerned. Well, when the temps get warmer, then you feel more about getting outside and you say, gee, I want to get this done, I want to get that done. And that's what spring is all about. Spring cleaning, yes. Well, sometimes we need to go through our closets or we need to check certain things out and we just don't know exactly what to do. Well, Andrea Craig said she has a roommate, and she and her roommate share a closet in their home, and she said she went in to look for a particular top, and all of these sweaters, she said, came tumbling out, and she said, oh, wow, I think, because I'm not wearing these things, they need to be taken somewhere. I need to clean out my closet. So she found out a person that about a person that is dealing with helping the homeless. And she said the woman's name is Carrie, and it had been a while before that Carrie had met up with her and said, gee whiz, do you have anything you can donate so that I can get some things to some people that need them? And she said, you know what? I need to follow Carrie's example, because Carrie is always purging her closet. She said, well, if I don't really like this, I'm not really wearing it. Maybe somebody else can use it. So she decided that that is what she was going to do. She was going to go through her closets and do the same thing. And Andrea found that she had all kinds of items. She shared the thought with her roommate. And she said, by golly, we found that we had so many different things. We took them down to the places that could use them. And they put on bazaars and had auctions so that they could raise money. And all of this went out to a lot of good people. And then whatever was left over was donated to the shelter for the homeless. And there is one gal, she said, that really inspired her, whose name was Geraldine. She said, this woman doesn't even wait until spring. Whenever she buys something new, she takes an item from her wardrobe that she doesn't wear and gives it to a charity that helps women return to the workforce. And she said, that's what I do. Well, when I was on my trip to Alaska, there was a very good friend of mine, Katie, that we were visiting. And she said she's developed a similar patterning. She said, if I go to buy a brand new pair of shoes, I make sure that I take one pair of shoes out. Now, with Katie, she said she's limited in her space, but she found it was a good way for her to keep from acquiring a lot of clutter. And she said she does that whenever she buys a piece of clothing or when she buys maybe something for the kitchen. She says, I'll just look and say, do I really need some of these other things? And if she doesn't, then she moves them out. And it really is, I think, just something to think about. That if you want to do some spring cleaning and you've got a clutter and maybe somebody else can use what you've got, go ahead. Let it go. Make space, because you won't be lacking. You'll have something to fill it up. I guarantee you that just seems to be the law of life. But you know what? You will know that wherever you take it, whether it's to the Goodwill, the Salvation Army, to a special church group, maybe a private organization like this young lady Carrie that works with the homeless, or somebody else, know that what you have is going to be perhaps appreciated by someone else. It may even help some groups to raise money. And it is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. I know of an organization here in the Pacific Northwest. They're out of Oregon. They take bridal gowns that are donated. They're a nonprofit organization. And then they sell those bridal gowns, and all of the money from the sales goes into breast cancer research. So there's so many wonderful people out there wanting to make a difference in life, doing what they can to make their world better, and in the process, when they let go of some of their things, they're empowering other people to make their world better as well. And you know the old saying, what goes around comes around, and I really believe that is a true statement. This is Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat on this wonderful Monday, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756 if you'd like to chat with me today, and I'll light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Now, we're going to be taking a break for just a moment, and I've got a little bit of this and a little bit of that to share with you. Back here in the Pacific Northwest, where the sun is shining, the flowers are blooming, and everything is lusciously green. It's spring in the Pacific Northwest, and I sure am glad to be home. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Has anyone ever called you a magnetic personality? Well, we might think it's a compliment, but there are some people on this planet that would say, you wouldn't want to have a magnetic personality. I've got one, and you don't want what I've got. Well, let me share some fascinating stories with you that have been historically recorded about magnetic people. Yes, they do exist. And one of the earliest records of such a person was filed in 1877, and it was a 17-year-old girl named Caroline. She lived in London, Ontario. Now, her circumstances were rather unique. She got very sick. She didn't want to eat, and in the process of not eating, lost over 40 pounds of weight. Now, the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. There was nothing that was registering at the time. Now, it was after this particular illness that she got that she began having seizures. That really compounded their perplexity. And, of course, think of 1877. They didn't have the tests like we've got today. Now, I know we've got a caller on the line. Let me tell you more about this magnetic gal and some of the other people when we come back. Let's take this caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Michael in Carmel, California.
Hi, Michael.
I've talked to you once before I talked to you.
Well, I'm so delighted that you've called back. I'm sure it's just gorgeous in Carmel.
It is beautiful.
I love it there. Okay, Michael, down to business. There is, I think, a challenge that's in front of you, and it's relative to negotiation. And it seems to me that you have a very good positioning in the negotiation, but you've got to be prepared for what might be considered questions that would come from left field. And when I say that, it's like it would not be in the context of what you're negotiating about. It would be someone throwing in a concern or a cost factor, whatever it might be, that you'd say, what in the world? It would just throw you for a loop. You'd go, where did this come from? Well, what you need to do is keep a straight face, and when this particular aspect would be thrown into a negotiating process, don't make any comment, but just ask them, why are they concerned, and why is it that this particular portion or concept is being considered? And what you need to do is really listen carefully to what they're saying. They are relating past experiences that are not in any way close to what you're going to be doing, and it's all distorted. So what I would like for you to do is not say yay or nay or try to box in anything. Say, you know, you've given me something to really think about. Do you mind if I have a few hours to really address your concern and ask them questions, so that you get all of the particulars that they need to have information on? and say, can we talk about this tomorrow? And if they say, oh, well, no, I'd need to know within an hour or so, and say, okay, give me the time so that I can get the details that you need. But make sure you question them about what it is their real concerns are. Because what you're going to discover when you question them, trying to get all the facts and the details, you're going to realize they don't know what they're talking about. They're relating to something that is very, very different from what you're going to be working with. But you need to know how to address that so that there is clarity of understanding. That is going to gain you a very strong advocate that will assist you in future times. And also, it will enable you to have a sense of, gee whiz, I didn't panic at this. I didn't try to make anything up. I was just totally open, and I wasn't fearful, and it's working well. So you've got some interesting characters that I think you're going to be coming in contact with, and you just need to realize that they have had their own experiences, and what they're really wanting to do is to deal with something that, in truth, is non-existent. But there's a way of working with that so that you can help give them clarity and understanding and come out smelling like a rose, so to speak. And it doesn't mean you're devious. It doesn't mean you're not speaking the truth. You're just addressing their concerns, and that's very important. What question do you have for me today?
Well, it's a question about my son. His name is Nicholas, and mm-hmm. he's kind of depressed lately. A good friend of his passed away by accident,
mm-hmm.
young kid, one of his best friends, and he's depressed, and he's getting through school, and he's overwhelmed. I want to know what I can do, if anything.
Well, I'd suggest that you guys take a long hike somewhere. I think
he's
that
quite a ways away from me.
Well, where is
he? So I should go down, and he's about a couple hundred miles away. Should I go down and meet with him?
I'd say, yeah, let's take a hike. I'm serious when I'm saying this. I'm not making light
uh-huh.
of it. He needs to be taken and made to walk and talk, because so often when it comes to the subject of death, people want to run away from it. He's a young person. He has found that a friend is no longer in this experience, and that can be very, what do I want to say, grounding. When you realize that we live in a reality that there are no guarantees, and that youth has its pluses and its minuses, and gee whiz, life is precious, whether you're 95 years of age or just born. So he's asking a lot of philosophical questions, and I think you're spending time with him and maybe taking a hike through someplace, wherever. And let's say, just go for a walk. Let's just go for a walk. Get on your hiking shoes. We'll take a day pack, and we're just going to go out. And he may sort of moan and groan. So, you know, I'd really like to do it. I'd like to have the companionship. Let's do it. Maybe it's walking on a beach somewhere, but communicating with him. This is what he really needs more than anything else. And if he wants to talk, he can talk. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And maybe then you can share some of your experiences with him. But I think what he needs more than anything else is just the freedom of being able to, let's say, physically do something, move, so that he can think and he has a chance to deal with grief in a very realistic way. And it is something that we all are going to experience, and whether we have someone that we love that passes or our own passing, none of us are going to live forever. We all have the chassis that are going to wear out, and so we're going to be moving on. And that, for him, is he may feel overwhelmed, but I think if he takes a break and he just goes on a long walk or a hike down a beach or something, it'll make a big difference to him. It'll help him. It'll help ground him.
Should I wait till the weekend? He's pretty busy with school and stuff. Should I wait until the weekend?
Ask him. So you'd like to spend some time with him, and just ask him. Let him make the choice.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in, Michael.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. My goodness, we're out of time. Well, I'll have to tell you about this magnetic Caroline tomorrow. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You've got so much to be grateful for. Life is rich with opportunity. Don't forget, when it knocks on your door, open that door and welcome it in. This is Donna. We'll be talking with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.